Hey, how's it going? This is Braden from Noble Sports. Today, I'm privileged to have the co-founder of Breaking Down the Tape and Breaking Down the Tape Media. He says what he says, Hector. How's it going, Hector?
Hey, I'm hyped. I'm good. I mean, we just had our Degenerate Season 5 draft last night. I feel good.
And I saw that, and then I listened to your guys' recording about the Jets and all that stuff, and I agree with your take to jump in, your take with Deshaun Watson. I asked a whole bunch of my buddies at work that were in a fantasy league, asked if they would take him. And they said no, because he's not available until week 12. But I don't know.
Yeah, so to break it down a little bit, everybody knows what's going on with Deshaun Watson. And, you know, we're going into the fantasy draft. Everybody knows he's out till week 11. No one drafted him. So, you know, that's a plus. Like, no one went out their way to draft him. But, you know, after the draft was done, he's obviously on the waiver wire. And it just so happens that, you know, he comes back week 11. So it's prime time. Like, if you're in a running for the fantasy league, you know, yeah, quarterback skill wise, I'm not knocking him. Like, he'll help you probably win a league if you pick him up, you know, for week 11 on, if you're in the, you know, the running to win it. But, you know, guys made an acquisition and picked them up. And I'm like, with everything going on with him, I don't want to be associated with that. Like, I wouldn't, even though, you know, football, you know, you put, trying to win a fantasy league. Like, yeah, I thought about it. I thought about picking him up, put him on the bench, you know, plugging him in to help me win a chip. And then I'm just like, you know what? I'd rather do it with someone else.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just a lot of negativity, and rightfully so. People are saying he's not guilty, and I don't know, say what you want, but my two cents on the whole thing is, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. You don't, 25 women plus the however many were silenced, there's got to be some truth to it. There's no way that it's not.
I mean, I still stand by it. According to the reports and stuff, there's still one active case. All the other ones are settled or dropped or whatever. There's still one active case. And to me, as long as there's one active case, he shouldn't even be able to think about football.
You know, what else is crazy is, I want to say the vice president of football operations for the Browns is a woman. Like, what a slap to the face to her. Because I was listening to you guys, if you guys haven't listened to Zach and Hector's podcast episode from yesterday, give it a listen. It's really good. They have some hot takes in there, but it's a slap in the face with what the owner said and what he said. I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
Like I said, Deshaun Watson has all the talent in the world. When he's on the field, he's a top 10, possibly top 5 quarterback in the league. I'm not knocking him on his playing ability. I'm knocking him as a man, as a human being. Like, I'm sorry. I don't care about your talent on the field. I don't want that on my team.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Fantasy included. Like, even a fictional game, like fantasy football, I don't want him.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, so when I first started playing fantasy, the whole Michael Vick scenario went down where he went to prison because of the dog fighting. His first season back when he was with the Eagles, I had no idea what I was doing. This is like brand new. It was my first time ever playing fantasy. It was probably like 12 or 13. And my cousins are like, yeah, get him. He's a good quarterback. And I mean, he did score me quite a few points. There was a few games where he was in the 60s. So I will say, looking back, I probably wouldn't have associated with him either. But I will say the difference between Michael Vick and Deshaun Watson is Michael Vick has owned his crap.
And okay. I was hoping you'd say that too. Cause with the Michael Vick thing, cause I'm in a pickle with the Michael Vick thing. Cause to me, Michael Vick is my favorite player in the NFL all time. I don't like, you coming up to me and you, Hector, who was your favorite player all time in the NFL? It is Michael Vick. And I get shit for it sometimes. when it comes to the dog situation, I look at it differently. I mean, obviously it's not a woman.
Yeah.
Not a woman. And like you said, he owned it. He did his time. He did everything he was supposed to and moved on. Like, and that's why people look at him differently.
He's an advocate now for animal abuse and all these things. And there are still people that are bitter and, like, will attack him. And I'm like, he's paid his dues.
Yeah,
he's admitted he was in the wrong.
Yeah, just look at his background. He's from the South, where dog fighting is like a natural thing, like underground dog fighting. Like, he was probably born and raised in that stuff, you know? And then when it comes out in the NFL and he gets caught and he gets the jail time and the suspension and all that jazz, you know, he sees the light. He looks at things differently now.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Michael Vick. I think he does get a bad rep. And I mean, out of all like the quarterbacks that have done shady crap, I feel like he's probably the bottom of that list of being someone you can really hate because he has owned his crap. Where you've got the Ben Roethlisberger who got away with raping women twice.
You know, like at least with Michael Vick, you can, like I said, it's not a woman. It's an animal, and I get it. I'm an animal lover myself. I got my dogs. I 100% was against it when it came out. I was so upset at him. But it's a whole different scenario and situation he was in compared to what Deshaun Watson is going through. Like, just put it like this. Michael Vick gets jail time and suspension for dog fighting. But Deshaun Watson gets a slap on the wrist and a pat on the back for forcing himself on women.
Absolutely. And what blows my mind is most of them weren't even massage therapists. Like,
he was just sliding into, you know, it started off with therapists, those massage therapists, but he was just sliding into sexy women's DMs on Instagram. That's just what it was.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been in the
asking
mindset
for a massage, even though they weren't, you know, they weren't masseuses, but that was his, you know, oh, I want you to give me a massage.
Yeah. And they were probably lured like, hey, this is Deshaun Watson. Like, he's a big name player. Like, and I'm not faulting or blaming the women. Like, there definitely is probably some interest because he is in the NFL. He's not just some
smojo. I give blame
Joe
to both sides. I mean, obviously, I'm not over here, and I get the women's side and their frustration and all that stuff, but there is still blame to both sides.
Absolutely.
No one knows the full story except the people that were actually involved, and there is blame on both sides. If you felt some type of way or you thought it was type of sketchy, you should have never showed up.
Absolutely.
You should have never showed up. You should have never waited so long to bring this to light. You know, you should what the fuck you doing in that situation in the first place?
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Why didn't
you react, you know, right then and there when the shit was going down? We're in a world now where if you say something, people are going to react. So why at that moment, right then and there, when it happened, you didn't speak out?
I mean, that's a whole different can of worms as well, because we as a society, I feel like when people do come forward, because it does happen both ways, but more predominantly for women, not every single time, but we tend to say, oh, no, they're lying. They're chasing clout. They're doing this. They're trying to paint a bad picture. And I feel like,
well, we've seen it on both sides, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've seen both sides of those scenarios. We've seen, you know, it actually happen to the woman. And we've seen the woman chasing for the clout and the money.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to raise those questions, and you have – that's part of the whole process of going through court and all that bullshit and jazz and blah, blah, blah. They have to prove and find the truth whether you were doing this for a certain reason or it actually happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a sad case, and –
it is, and I think 11 games was still too low. People are trying to justify that, oh, he was suspended last year, so, you know, you got to take that into account. You know what?
He wasn't suspended last year. He took
the year off. It's not a suspension, but he was out for the whole year. So they're trying to count that as part of his suspension. And I'm like, you know what? If you're in the process and that process takes however long, that's not my fucking problem.
Yeah, it's true.
That's not my problem. Now, your actual punishment after the fact, that still needs to be brought down. So I'm still giving you a year suspension. And this $5 million slap on the fucking wrist is bullshit. I know that the Browns are only paying him a mil for the year because they expected some type of fine like this. So if I was the NFL, I would have flipped the script on them and be like, all right, your fine is $50 million fucking dollars. Like, I'm not saying a year salary so you can eat the loophole. I'm saying 50 mil, point blank.
Yeah. That would have been in a perfect world, but as we've seen throughout time, the NFL, it's all a narrative, unfortunately. And I feel like if you are a stud, a star, you get off a little bit easier versus the Calvin Ridleys, the Josh Gordons of the world.
That's another thing. Like we keep bringing up a suspension. Like 11 games, but Josh Gordon gets 76 for smoking weed. Wow. Indefinite for Calvin Ridley, who already had left his team for mental health reasons. So he wasn't even with the organization and bet on his own team to win. So he pulled a Pete Rose and he's indefinite.
Yeah. And I mean, Josh Gordon, I feel for him because a lot of his smoking weed was because he had anxiety. He had
mental health problems.
And that's how he coped with it.
At the time he was in the league, the way they are taking mental health now, it wasn't taken that way back then.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they're making awesome strides finally, but it's still got a ways to go.
It got a long way to go because now we're hitting that phase where every excuse from everybody is, oh, my mental health.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sorry, as a military member with actual mental health fucking problems, I don't want to hear your I can sense your bullshit when you're just using the excuse my mental health.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you, Hector. So
I get it. Everyone in the world has mental health issues. No one knows everyone's fucking background. But you can sense when the bullshit comes out of people's mouths sometimes when they use that as an excuse.
Yeah. Well, let's change gears. Let's get off of the negativity. Because like you were saying, I don't want to end on a negative note. And I feel like we could just talk this all day if we give in the chance. So the whole point of having Hector on, as you heard, I had Zach on last week or 2 weeks ago. I want to spotlight each of the members of Breaking Down the Tape Media. There is, what, six of us now? So giving each of them a chance to share their stories, why they became fans of the said teams, and all these things, and get some hot takes from them. So
hell yeah.
The very first question I got for you, Hector. So I know you're kind of a house split, right? You're a Jets fan and a Giants fan, correct?
Yeah, I get a lot of shit for that. I get a lot of backlash for that, saying, you know, you can't be a fan of two teams, you know, two New York teams at that, you know, the whole backlash. But I do have a story behind it.
I'd like to hear that story. Share it.
one, they're not in the same division and not even in the same conference, you know, so it's two different sides of the world in the NFL. So you don't have to worry about that. But when I first started getting into football, I was 6 or 7 years old that my uncle on my father's side started getting me into, you know, football and being a fan of football. And he's a Giants fan. So, you know, learning the game of football and like watching games, I watched the Giants games with him. His father, my grandfather, is a hardcore Jets fan. So, and I hung out my grandfather, rest in peace his soul. I love him. I because of him, I became the hugest fucking Jets fan, and I bleed gangrene. But I don't have a problem. Like I'll root for the Giants. I'll watch the Giants games. I don't care if they win the Super Bowl. I'll root with them and fucking the whole deal. Like but if I had to choose, I'm gangrene all the way.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I kind of feel the same way with the Raiders, as funny as it sounds. Like, I'm a diehard Seahawks fan, but if I were to pick a second team, I'd definitely pick the Raiders because they're the local team now, and they're not in the same division. They're not in the same conference. And when we didn't make the playoffs last year, I was rooting for the Raiders because,
my ideal Super Bowl is a Subway Series Super Bowl. Jets versus Giants, where the Jets fucking pull it out.
Yeah, you know, that'd be good. I know Zach shared it on TikTok. We were talking about this video. It was this guy who makes content, and he was talking about he was pretending to be God and the devil. And they were talking about who should win the Super Bowl. And finally, God said, all right, I'll let you decide who wins the Super Bowl if you release Joe Namath from his contract and put the Jets fans out of their misery. And I was talking to Zach, and he finally found it. And I think it holds true. We were talking a little bit about the whole Joe Namath selling his soul.
Me and Zach have this to a T. And I'm sorry, Joe Namath, it has nothing to do with you, but it has everything to do with you. The only way the Jets are winning the Super Bowl is the day Joe Namath croaks. Once that fucking lifeline goes beep, that's going to be when Zach Wilson is throwing the final game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl.
You know, and I think it's not far off. I know Jets, you Jet fans, you probably are cautiously optimistic. But the moves you've made this offseason, I've been impressed with them. And people think I'm a Zach Wilson hater. I am not a Zach Wilson hater. I just stand by. I think Jaren Hall was better in college. He was just injured. But not to say Zach Wilson wasn't terrible. And I think he has potential of being great. He looks a lot like Steve Young. So,
they just got to take it easy with him on this, because they don't want him to actually tear his MCL or Achilles or any meniscus or anything like that. So I say, they say he's projected to be ready for week one. I say, don't even fucking touch him. Don't even look at him. Tell him, don't even worry about your pads. You can leave them at the locker. I wouldn't even touch him game two. I would ride out Joe Flacco for at least the first two games and see what happens. And be ready, I would say, I would get Zach Wilson ready for Steelers week four, because we play the Bengals week three. So if we're 1-1 going into week three, I'm not putting you your first game in against the Bengals.
Yeah, because unless something miraculous happens, I think that it's fair to say that that's a game out of reach for you guys.
I say game four, make sure he's 100% healthy. You could go out against the Steelers. Good defense, but I think we can beat up on the Steelers. Offensively, they still don't know how their QB is going to play out.
Yeah. You know, and that's a big question mark. I think it would be a little bit of a poetic justice if Joe Flacco can lead you guys against the Ravens and winning. I think that would be awesome.
I'm rooting for, you know, if they play Joe Flacco for the first two games and even if they bring Zach Wilson for the Bengals at week three, a 1-1. If I can get a 1-1 from Joe Flacco and it be that Baltimore game, I'm happy.
And, you know, Joe Flacco's not a scrub. Everyone gives Joe Flacco crap. I will say he's probably average at best, but I'd rather have Joe Flacco than what we have in Seattle right now. Because Drew Lock looked good in the first preseason game, but then he had COVID and Geno Smith. I was hoping, riding hope that he'd be decent, and he was that absolute dog garbage against the Bears.
I think Joe Flacco is still a starter in this league, but he's also, I think, a very good mentor. I think he's accepting of the role where he's at. Like, he knows he can probably go be a starter somewhere.
Yeah, and with what you guys have built up in New York, I think a Super Bowl isn't far out. Like, you have a lot of young talent, and you just signed Brown to a deal. He is a solid tackle. I mean, he is an older tackle, but sometimes it helps to have those veterans on the line. So,
I went homer in my fantasy draft. I drafted three Jets.
See, I've always been against drafting Seahawks because I don't know. There's just something about it. But, I mean, I guess I could draft Russ now.
For you, Braden, I even have a Seahawk.
Who'd you draft?
DK Metcalf.
Did you see his interview on the sideline on Thursday?
Nah.
So they interviewed him. He was in for three plays. Well, initially they said DK and Tyler weren't going to play against the Bears just to keep him healthy and put him in for three plays. And then they go to the sideline to interview him, and he's like, I can't do this interview. I'm mad right now. And they're like, why are you mad? He's like, Pete told me to suit up and only let me play three plays. Like, that's ridiculous. I wanted to play more. I wanted to do this. Like, I'm mad at Pete right now. It was really funny. Like,
I'd be mad too. Like, I'm suited up. You made me get, you know how like long it takes to suit up for football?
Oh yeah, it's not fun.
like you made me do all this work for three plays.
Yeah.
Go through all the warm-ups and everything.
And they were like three run plays, so it wasn't even like he had a chance to catch the ball. So, like, maybe he'll play because the whole theory is Geno is going to be the backup, Drew's going to be the starter. And with Drew not playing last week, they didn't want to put all the first strings with Geno because Geno's not the first string quarterback.
Hey, so. I think y'all guys should make a push for Jimmy G.
I'm torn because
it's better than what you have now, and you know Jimmy G is going to win you games. You know he's going to get DK the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I would love for us to win because obviously I don't like finishing in last place.
And it could even just be a pit stop, a 1 year.
Yeah, I just don't see San Francisco trading him to Seattle.
I can agree with that.
I've been a firm believer that you don't trade players to your division rivals. Just look at how didn't the Red Sox trade Babe Ruth to the Yankees and
started a 100-year curse?
Yeah,
actually, we've had Babe Ruth. We've gotten Roger Clemens. Well, I don't think we traded from the Red Sox for Roger Clemens, but I know he's played for both teams.
You got the guy with the funny stance. What was his last name?
Euclid.
Yeah, Euclid. He played for both. I don't know if he got traded from the Red Sox.
Johnny Damon.
Yeah. There's a lot of players. And I mean, I don't fault, like, people are giving, like, to jump back to the NFL, people are giving Bobby hard time for going to the Rams. I don't blame him. The way Seattle did him, I don't blame him going to a rival to prove a point.
No, I don't blame him at all either. And it was the perfect fit.
Yeah, that's where he's from too. So it's a homecoming. And like I've said, I'm more hurt about Bobby getting cut than Russ getting traded because it was bound to happen with Russ. It was either this year or next year. I mean, at least we got a ton of pieces. I wish we wouldn't have cut Bobby, but it is what it is.
To even just cut him, like, if anything, you could have got pieces off of him, too. Like, I don't know why you cut a asset like that.
Yeah, I don't know. But now they're saying KJ Wright is going to step into, like, a coaching role up in Seattle as, a linebacker coach, which I think will be really good for us, having that mentor. Yeah. Because people often forgot because of Bobby – KJ Wright was no scrub himself. He was a good 1-2 punch at linebackers with the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next question I got for you, Hector. I did this with Zach and it was kind of fun. I'm going to ask you who is currently the most overrated player, who's the most underrated player, and if you could invest in one player for the rest of the career, who would it be? So right now, who is the most overrated player in the NFL?
Most overrated player. Kyler Murray.
Thank you. That's someone high up on my list. I don't understand the hype.
Off the top of my dome, like if I had more time to think, I could probably find one or two names that I put above him. But off the top of my dome right now, I'd go with Kyler Murray. Yeah. I don't like his cockiness either. It's not confidence. It's straight cockiness.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, isn't that kind of like the baseball player mentality? I don't mean any disrespect.
There's a fine line that you have to walk. You got to have the cockiness and the confidence, but like he's so far on the left side of that spectrum.
Yeah. Every baseball player I knew in high school, they were pretty cocky. So that's kind of why I was like, maybe there's a correlation, but it could just be the people that I knew.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you get them in all the sports, but you get those apples in all of them.
That's true. So,
and then
who do you think underrated? Is the most underrated player?
Underrated, the most underrated player, I would say. Most underrated player. That one's a tough one.
Yeah. I can see that.
That one's a tough one. Underrated player. It's hard to think. I'm going to have to think about that one.
Okay, then we'll jump to the last one. If you could invest in one player for the rest of their career, who would you invest in?
As of right now.
As of right now.
I would probably... I would. I'm not even gonna lie. I'd be a homer. I'd invest in Sauce Gardner.
I think he's gonna be really good for you guys.
I would be 100% a homer, and I would invest in Sauce Gardner. I think he's gonna be one of the top backs in the league for a while. He's gonna shock the world. He's gonna be a shutdown corner.
You know, and I'm excited because we got the other half of that equation because he played for Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
We got Kobe Bryant, the other corner from Cincinnati, and he hasn't.
Who I also liked. I thought the Jets were going to make a push for him, too.
Yeah, I was genuinely impressed with our draft. A lot of people crapped on it, but I felt like we drafted what we needed, and we'll see how it pans out, but it is what it is.
I want to go back to that underrated player.
All right. Yeah. Underrated. The few people that I've seen, they said I've seen Cooper Kupp. The one that had me laughing the most was Joe Burrow. I'm like, I don't think he's underrated. I think he's that guy. But that's just my two cents.
I'm going to say Derek Carr.
I like that one.
Derek Carr. You know, I thought he was going to be more like his brother and just like hit his plateau. And you could be like, damn, I thought he was going to be so much better. But like, he's doing exactly what he was supposed to do, like not hit that plateau. And people are still calling him underrated. Like he was almost a 5,000 yard passer last year. And now you give him his college teammate and probably the best receiver in the league. If you want to compare him with Kupp and Davante Adams, he's going to do something this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's definitely going to be – a lot of people are going to follow that whole mentality of – because it works so well with Joe Burrow and Jamarcus Chase, like they're that connection. I even thought maybe you guys would make a push for one of the wide receivers that Zach had in college because they were going to be free agents. I mean, they were talented, but definitely not – they could be late round picks. Other than Dax Mill, I think that's the only one that would probably be the most toxic person to for you guys to sign. But they had a great connection too in college, unfortunately.
I think Derek Carr's, I think Derek Carr's very underrated.
I mean, and I don't know. That a couple of years ago when they made that run and they were really good and made it to the playoffs. I think if Derek Carr wouldn't have gotten hurt, who knows how far they would have gone in the playoffs, because he's definitely a leader. So I can get behind that one.
Yeah, I think they're actually going to make a deeper – I think I got them making the playoffs this year. And I got them as one of those teams in the AFC making the playoffs this year. And they're going to – I think they, depending on who they play, they can probably win a game and maybe make it to the AFC championship round.
You know, they were a play away from making a winning against the Bengals in reality. So it's not far off. And they've made moves this offseason with Devontae Adams, Chandler Jones, beefing up that offensive line. And they've actually looked pretty – I know it's preseason. Everyone likes to crap on preseason, but they look good in preseason. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So am I. I'm happy that it's right around the corner. It's like, what, next week that the regular season starts? Let's say. Did I lose you? Hello?
Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's not this next week. It's the following week. September 8th is their first game. It's a Thursday.
Oh, nice. I'm excited for that first Monday night to have Russ come back. But I will say I don't understand the amount of hate that Seattle's giving. Because, man, they're booing him already. I understand when he plays booing the opposing quarterback, but he led us to our first Super Bowl. He won us a Super Bowl. He's the winningest quarterback in franchise history. I don't know.
Yeah, but you got to give him shit. Like, you, it's not like the team went out their way to trade him because he was getting old. Like, he requested to be moved.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, you can be mad at him and pissed off at him.
See, I'm torn because I am still a huge Russ fan. And as much as I'd like for us to beat him, I think it'd be really cool if he can beat us and the Chargers, because those are literally the only two teams he hasn't beaten in his career, which I find ironic, the Chargers. Like, I think he's 0-3 against them.
And he's probably going to continue losing against them because Justin Herbert's probably going to win MVP this year.
Yeah, I could get behind that. I don't know. I'm just not sold. I'm not sold on the Chargers either, because they had a chance to make the playoffs, and they done messed up last season. So,
well, it was on the defensive side of the ball, though, and I think they addressed most of those issues on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that's true. That they did.
So then you go out and you got you stacked up your defense. Now you got Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack on two sides of the ball, and then you're gonna have most likely the MVP of the NFL throwing on the offensive side.
Yeah.
I'm standing by that. Like, I'm sold. I said what I said. Justin Herbert, MVP.
I could get behind that. I'm just hoping Russ can get one vote finally, but I doubt that's going to happen because I don't even think he's the best quarterback in that division.
He debatable if you want to put him in the top 10 quarterbacks in the league right now.
Yeah. It all depends on how he can bounce back from the injury, because I felt like he was rushed last season from that injury to come back. So I guess time will tell. But I don't agree with people already saying he's washed. I don't think he's necessarily washed. I just don't think the Broncos are trying to copy what Seattle did initially when they went on those Super Bowl runs. I just don't think they have the tools yet.
I see a huge drop off for Wilson in the wide receiver core, in the depth of the wide receivers already. DK is easily better than any wide receiver the Broncos have.
And him and Tyler had, I think, two seasons of a perfect passer rating between the two of them.
Like, Jerry Jeudy, yes, he's good. And I'm waiting for him to break out because he's dealt with some injuries and stuff like that. But I don't see his peak being DK's peak. And then Cortland Sutton is very, very good. He had a nice breakout season last year, but I know he deals with some injuries from time to time. And if I'm right, he's been in the league
you know, a few years already. So he's eventually going to get up in age in the next couple of years.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I guess time will tell. But I think someone was arguing that his situation in Denver is better than it was in Seattle. And
I do give him a better tight end, though, because he's never had a really good tight end. And I think Noah Fant is going to be a really good tight end.
Well, Noah Fant's on the Seahawks.
Is he on the Seahawks? Did they trade him to the Seahawks?
Yeah, he was a part of the trade.
Oh, shit. Then, yeah, then I don't know who the Broncos tight end. See, then you just fucked up. You could have had a tight end. Look at that.
Yeah, so we got 5 draft picks, Drew Lock, Noah Fant, and then Shelby Harris, D lineman. And so, I mean, I will say he did have Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham was decent, but he
– Seattle just couldn't use him correctly because Seattle's more of a run tight end, like a tight end that's able to block. And Jimmy Graham can't block to save his life.
Yeah,
he's more of a receiver.
And he was okay at doing that.
And then we tried the whole experiment with the Rams tight end Griffin, who signed with the Chargers this past offseason. And Will Disley, if he could stay healthy, he had a potential, but every time he'd start to break out, he'd break his leg or something would happen like that. So who knows? I think he does have a better offensive line in Denver than he did in Seattle, but other than that, I don't really see much improvements.
I don't have much faith in their backs either. I don't really know much of their backs because to me, the Broncos is the worst team in that division. Like they're gonna be last in their division.
You know, I think 1 through 3 could be interchangeable with the Raiders, Chiefs, and the Chargers, because I think all 3 of them are going to compete. But like I agree, the Broncos are going to be dead last. They might have a winning record, but they won't make
the playoffs. I wouldn't even doubt if they didn't have a winning record.
Yeah, we'll see.
I can see them going like 7-10.
I could see that too. And unfortunately, and Russ has already said he wants a massive contract extension next year, and that's going to hurt Denver. I know you're not the biggest Tom Brady fan, but that has been the key to success, is taking those pay cuts so you can sign those players.
Yeah. And
Russ wants a big contract. I even saw I was reading earlier that Lamar Jackson turned down a $230 million contract today. So he wants
something higher than Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And I don't think he's up there yet. I still think Deshaun Watson is, unfortunately, a top five quarterback, because he was really good before all this crap went down.
Oh, but yeah. It wasn't the year Deshaun Watson. No, it was the year prior. So Lamar Jackson got the MVP. But I think if Deshaun Watson played last year, he was probably potential in the MVP running.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably going to continue being a possible top five MVP candidate. And if he gets an MVP and has one with Lamar Jackson, then God knows what he's going to do when he gets a contract extension.
Yeah. I guess time will tell again. But I don't know. I'm not sold on Lamar. I'm not going to go and say that he's a running back like a lot of people will. But until he wins a playoff game, he's going to be – I mean, he is probably top 10, but I would like to see him win a playoff game before giving him that huge extension.
I want to see how he plays now that you took away his number one target.
That's true.
There's no Hollywood Brown there. And if everyone was bitching and complaining about him throwing the ball before, I want to see how he plays when he doesn't have his number one option. Now he has to go to Rashad Bateman, who's now the number one option. And I think Rashad Bateman's going to have a really good year, but is he going to, like, help Lamar excel, like, to the point where what people are expecting?
Yeah. And I think Mark Andrews is a top three tight end, or at least top five, but I think people are going to double team him, knowing that that is also one of Lamar's favorite targets.
People are saying he's the number one tight end in the football right now, and I don't get that hype. I mean, I know he's top three, but I don't see that hype. I don't see him as the number one tight end in football.
See, I think it's either Kelce or Kittle. And
I think different. I think Kittle took a drop. I think it's Kelce or Waller.
See, I could see Waller too. The only people that talk crap about Waller are Chargers fans.
I think in the next three years, Kyle Pitts is probably going to be the number one tight end.
Oh yeah, that dude's a freak. He's massive.
And I tell people when I drafted him last night, don't sleep on Steelers Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah. And we'll see. We'll see. I'm kind of excited with all these changes because there has been a lot of changes this past season, this past off season, with a lot of big trades and stuff like that. So we'll see a lot of different players playing in different jerseys.
I'm excited for, this season. I felt like it was like a century.
Yeah, I agree with that one. So before we go, I got one more question for you, and then we'll do shout outs. But what is your hottest take right now for the NFL?
The Jets to the Super Bowl.
I can get behind it.
Not realistically, though. I got a good hot take, and me and Zach have kind of been riding this train a little bit too. That Zach Wilson is probably going to have a breakout year and be a top 5-10 quarterback this year.
I'd like it. It would look good for BYU.
You're going to see some amazing things from these Jets. They're going to make the playoffs.
Well, I don't know. So I don't know if Zach told you my hot take last week, but I said I think the Jets could finish in first place. I don't think the Bills will.
I like it.
And he is like, I can't get behind that. I'm like, I don't know. I think because the Bills don't have a running back, they really don't.
I like the Bills, even though I hate the Bills because I don't consider them real New York. And they're in the division. But I like the Bills team. I'm a huge Josh Allen fan. I still got them winning that division. And I think they answered the running back problem they have, because we all know Singletary and the shuffle of running backs they were going through were not doing it. James Cook, Dalvin Cook's little brother, who they drafted, I think is going to be what exactly they needed to be to push past Patty Mahomes and go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because as long as Josh Allen is their leading rusher, they're not going to get past. They're not going to make it to the
James
Super Bowl.
James Cook. I think he's going to be – he's a sleeper.
You know, that's good to know. I may draft him on Friday.
I tried to fucking draft him yesterday, and I said it obviously we're live, and I said it too. I was like, yo, I'm trying to aim for James Cook, and Zach – stole him from me.
Dang. That's crazy.
So what I did, next pick, I stole Breece Hall.
I think Breece Hall will play really well this year too. So.
Oh, yeah, he's my number two back. I need him to play well.
Yeah.
I got Derrick Henry and Breece Hall as my 1-2 punch.
That's not a too bad of a 1-2 punch. I think.
Hey, I know Henry's going to give me production and touchdowns, and I'm just hoping Breece Hall goes off.
See, in our league, I got Kamar and Mixon.
So I got to check who I got as my backs in our little 6-man league.
That was an intense first round with only one running back and one wide receiver going, and the rest were quarterbacks.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to Derek Carr again. He's my back. He's my second quarterback in that league.
You know, I laughed because I talked that crap about Tua, and he's my backup in that league. You know, it is what it is.
That's another hot take. I think Tua is going to shit the bed this year.
Oh, yeah.
Even with all the weapons, they're going to be like, all right, this guy is not it.
No,
they're going to realize it.
I got crapped on for that take, for my take on him, that I could throw better than him. I'm like, you can't tell I was clearly joking. I was laughing. I don't think I can throw better than Tua. I was making a joke because I don't think he's that great of a quarterback. And man, everyone in the comments, man, Gaia was one of the first ones that said, bro, you can't throw better than him. He's in the NFL. I'm like, no crap, Sherlock. I was making a joke. Let's not be serious here.
Really, I wouldn't doubt it. We got to hit up Tua. I want to throw off. Let's do it. I bet you my 10 yarder is better than your 10 yarder.
I mean, that'd be funny. I might have to send this to him and say, hey, we got to bet.
Let's do it. I'm lefty too. So like it's lefty on lefty action. Let's go.
All right. So before we go, is there anyone you want to shout out?
Shout out Breaking Down the Tape. Shout out Braden, Noble Sports. Shout out Chaz, Raw Down Smack. Shout out Jimmy Pibbs. He's coming out with his Breaking Down the University. And yeah, this is some movement over here.
And then Shifty Hippo.
And the shiftiest hippo of them all. He's the newest member of the Breaking Down the Tape crew.
Yeah, Cole.
He's also part of the Jacked and Can Boys. Shout out to John.
That podcast is actually really good. If you want something that's not super sports related, go give Jack and Can a listen.
John is fun too. John's a fun one.
I'm excited to do fantasy with all of you guys too. I think it'll be a ton of fun.
Oh, I'm winning. Yo, I'm going to win all my leagues this year. It's done given.
And I think Jimmy Pibbs is going to finish dead last in all 22 of his leagues.
You know what? Every league I've been in with Pibbs so far, he's been either last or close to the bottom. So, like, I hope one of these days, you know, he gets a little bit of luck.
I honestly think it's because he's in so many leagues. I can't imagine that. I was in 6 leagues last year, and that was difficult. Like, it was difficult trying to juggle all that.
My max is 4. I might push it to 5, but my max, like, money-wise, I'll push it. It's 4. If it's a free league, then yeah, but it's like one of those. It's going to be like the one I'm probably not paying attention to as much.
Yeah, I don't like putting money down because I'm like, it's stupid luck. And my luck, I'm not going to win.
Hey, you never know. And then Valentine's coming up, you win. It's a nice way to save your ass from your wife.
That's true. Well, thanks again, Hector. I appreciate you. And I'm happy we finally got this interview out of the way. We've been trying for a few weeks now, and it was my fault. So I'm happy we finally got you on and got your hot takes and kind of learned a little bit more about you.
Hell yeah. Anytime, bud. And we're going to have to get you over on Breaking Down the Tape again. Do another collab.
For sure. All right. Thanks again, Hector.
Gotcha.